I'm supposed to be talking, this is supposed to be a beginner's guide to prayer. So they've asked a beginner to do it, which is fine. You need to know my qualifications in this as a beginner in prayer. So I've probably fallen asleep in or nodded off in more prayer meetings than most of you. Over time, the best occasion being when Ruth was little, when she was about, and there she is over there, when she was about three, she used to get up at 5 in the morning. And so I used to take her downstairs and we'd sit and watch Dappledown Farm, which came on at 5:30. And we'd sit and watch that, and then I'd get up and go to work. And long, heavy day at work, come back home, dash in, get a sandwich, dash out, prayer meeting at church, and we'd sit round in a warm room in a circle and pray about stuff. And there was one night like this, and I was sat on a chair, and I was actually sat with my knees crossed, so I was probably not balanced too well. And I just started going, you know. And I actually came to again, but I came to, I was about 45 degrees, sideways, not forwards. my head was rapidly approaching this lady's lap. And actually, the only person, I think, who really clocked it was Alf, who had his eyes open. Everybody else was being very good and having their eyes shut. And I think he was a bit... a bit disappointed with my effort. Anyway, so this is going to be a beginner's guide to prayer. So if you're, if prayer is a doddle for you and you think you're well on and so on, then some of this you might just think, well, I'll sit and do Sudoku instead or something for 30 minutes, whatever you want to do. Okay, but actually, if you listen, you might pick up something that might just help you. Certainly, perhaps with other people who struggle a little bit. So, if you look on the internet, apparently there's loads of stuff on the internet. But one thing there's you can find 7 reasons why I ought to pray, 10 reasons why I ought to pray, 9 reasons, 20 reasons, 24 reasons. It's all there, you know. And that just got me thinking. You know, that little word "ought." Just want to get that out of it to start with. All right. So you, in perfect grammatical English, you didn't ought to pray, all right? There's no ought in this, all right? This is something that comes out of relationship. And then I just thought, really, actually, some other stuff we need to get out of the way too. So for some of us, and it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, some of this might resonate with you. Some that you might have got past, but some that might resonate. And if it does, then this is for you. When we say prayer, sometimes the word hard comes to mind, sometimes the word boring or difficult. Sometimes there's a perception that you need to be an expert or you need to be really good at it, and that there are experts and you can see them because they can do long prayers and you'll never be as good as them. And then there's the thing, this is going to take hours, you know? And then we can end up thinking like this, you know, so we're on a series about prayer, you know, so you're thinking, oh, here we go again. You're telling me that I ought to spend hours of my time struggling to keep my mind focused. You know, every day I'm going to set this time aside and I've got to sit there and keep my mind focused, not wandering. And I've got to talk to God about lists of stuff that people have given me or expect me to pray about, you know. And I've got to keep it nice and wordy because that's what the good prayers do. They're sort of really articulate with it. But not repeat myself or not repeat myself too much, not go silent, not dry up. On top of that, I'm not actually sure that I'm that close to God that he really is going to take a lot of note of what I say. Even though he apparently requires me to pray. And I'm definitely not as close to God as those people who just really, when they start praying, they just go off in these long, articulate sentences and so on. And as all that stuff comes to mind, and then you walk up the street and you see the sign outside that says 40 days of prayer. And the first thing comes to mind is, I wonder when that's going to be over, you know? And prayer can become something obligatory but futile. And I just want to try and unpick some of that stuff this morning. Because, you know, we're going to look at relationship, and I'll probably say this again, but it is about relationship. When we understand our relationship, prayer comes from that. And it's not prayer to make the relationship makes the prayer. So, as a first point, prayer is talking. That's all it is. And we can all talk. Some of us more than others. But we can ask just, I was talking, this is just an aside. But have you ever noticed, and this is not a sexist remark, by the way, this is just difference between men and women, okay? When men are running, when they're out running, they're just running, okay? When women are out running, they're talking and running. Have you noticed? I don't know how they do it. I used to run a lot, not now, but when I ran, I could not talk. I couldn't keep a conversation up as well. And you know the phrase about murmuration of, you know, when you see all the birds flocking around and then they come down. And when the lady runners are out on a night time, it's like a murmuration of runners coming down the street. But they're all talking. I don't know how they do it. Anyway, some of us can talk more than that. That's just a little, sorry? All right. apparently, if you can't talk, you're running too fast. So you need to be able to talk and run at the same time. So that's their excuse. Okay, so you got that down in your notes. And that was a total nothing to do with anything, really. So I'm sorry. there's nothing about expertise in this, okay? And there's nothing about proficiency in this. And there's not a requirement to be able to pray long prayers. And I just want to read you something that Jesus said. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I'll tell you the truth, that's the only reward they're ever going to get. And for some reason, that's where my Bible suddenly finishes. So, if you can bear with me, this is Matthew chapter 6, if you want to find it, whilst I find it again. Oh, don't start that. Has somebody got a Bible? Shut up, will you? Somebody got a Bible I can borrow. Hey, this is good. Power off. It's off. It's the end of that. Thank you. Yeah. See, prayer is entertaining. Silence. Okay. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about prayer. And he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And this is your Father. This is your dad, you know. This is not somebody distant, remote. This is your Father who knows and loves you. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, or some versions say the Gentiles, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, and this is interesting, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Okay? So we don't need to go on and on and on, you know, probably just bore him really, you know? He knows what we need, and then it goes into this is how we should pray, and it goes into the Lord's Prayer, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Sometimes we have this perception, well, you know, does God really, is that interested in me? Does he want to listen to me? And this is actually fundamental to where we are in prayer. There's a connection between knowing who you are and finding prayer natural. You know, so in Hebrews 4:16 it says we can boldly approach the throne of grace. All right, and we can do that. Why? Because he loves us. Because, as we heard as we took communion, Jesus died for us. He rose again for us. He sits at the right hand of the Father for us. All right? He's given everything for us. And it says in Romans, having given everything, how will he not also give us all the things that we need as well? Will he not look after us? Having given that, given his life, will he not also just give us the stuff that we need? So he loves us, and we can come to him with confidence and openness, you know. We're just going to have a little clip from YouTube in a minute, so that's your cue, Dave, just in a minute. Closeness to God is not proved by whether I can pray long prayers or not. It's proved by the fact that you've asked Jesus to come into your life, you've accepted what he's done on the cross for you. Then you are close to him, and actually, in one sense, you will never get any closer, because the Bible says that he lives in you. How much closer can you get than that? Somebody once said, you know, I'm wall-to-wall Jesus inside, you know, that's it. There's a song which says, I think it's Jesus Culture, it says, I am yours, you are mine, and we will be together forever. All right? It's biblically true, profound, and should give us great reassurance. I am yours, you are mine, and we're going to be together forever. Nothing is going to pull us apart. We're together forever. So we can come with confidence. So we've just got this little YouTube clip, and I want to watch this. This is the thing that we're going to be able to.
I'm going to do one more round of these written in just a slightly different way because I just want to hit the point home, okay? So if you'd go to the next slide, this is written by Paul Young. He's one of my favorite authors. He wrote The Shack. He's an incredible mentor and friend to me. And these are just so great. The way that he writes just helps my heart to connect to truth. Words you will never hear God say. The depth of my affection for you is dependent on you. Words you will never hear God say. I expected you to do better. Words you will never hear God say. If you don't say the magic words, my hands are tied. Sorry about that. I'm going to pause on that because that was a real thing. I call it the combination lock God, where I was like, oh my gosh, in order for God to give me financial breakthrough, I need to have this right amount of faith, and I need to have the right person pray for me, and I need to be in the right church service, and then I need to have the right friend drive me home. And if all the stars align, then the breakthrough will happen. That is called magic potion God. And he is not like that. And so I spent years trying to get all of the things just right, and it made it so high stakes. Oh my gosh, is my heart not postured enough for you to give me something good? Do I not believe enough, God? Did I not worship? Oh God, I checked out of worship for a second. Am I going to miss what you have for me? Man, I want to be like, if God can be so easily missed, we're in trouble. I want a God who I'm like, come shake me if I miss you, God, but I'm not going to live in fear that I'm missing you. Okay. I don't like being with things, words you will never hear God say. I don't like being with you when things get messy. Next slide. Words you will never hear God say. I allow evil because it will make you a better person. Words you will never hear God say. You aren't allowed to participate until you are perfect. Words you will never hear God say, I would rather you attempt to be holy than be honest. Words you will never hear God say, you are deafer than my ability to communicate. This is the last sheet, so just so you know, we're not going to do this forever. But words you will never hear God say, I only love you today because I know your potential. Oh, I lived my whole life believing this. That God loved me for who I was going to become, but who I was way too ugly for him. Way too flawed. That again, all of this, it creates torment inside. Do you know how much of my torment was based solely on my relationship with God? That happens in Christianity today. And I'd refuse to let it happen for the rest of my life. Words you will never hear God say. Shaming is sometimes a good thing. Mm. Words you will never hear God say. I find your questions offensive. Words you will never hear God say. I put up with you only because Jesus loves you. I know you all are laughing, but I actually grew up with that theology. God hated me, Jesus loved me, Jesus convinced God to like me, and now we're all friends. How fun is it to be in a relationship with a person who had to really be convinced to like you? It's not fun at all. If you guys could get the video ready, we're almost there. How you see God affects the fruit. You become what you behold.
Thanks, Dave. if you want that, it's just a YouTube clip. We can give you the link for it, and you can watch it again. Come and see me, and I'll send you to somebody. Now, I could give you the link as well. You might say, what's this got to do with prayer and being a beginner in prayer, or anybody in prayer, really? And the point is really just trying to lay a good foundation in terms of who we are and who we are in Him and how we understand that, so that we can approach Him with confidence and come to that throne with confidence and without fear and without thinking there's lots of stuff in the way that makes it impossible. And there is just this strong connection between knowing who you are and prayer being a natural thing for you. So I'm just going to share a little story of, which came about this week with Sarah Smith, and now she's paying attention. So it's all right, Sarah, this is good. Sarah filled in her DBS application form for, we have to do this, clearing people for working with children and so on. And she made a mistake. She did just a slip of the pen, probably, but she got her birth date wrong on the form. And and that came up when I went online to do my bit, and then there was this, like, discrepancy. And I joked with her that maybe she was royalty, and she had an official birthday as well as her ordinary birthday. And her response was so cool. She says, of course I'm royalty, don't you know? I'm a daughter of the king, you know? Isn't that good? Yeah? And she knows she's the daughter of the king. And that is just it. You know, we are sons and daughters of the king. And actually sons and daughters of a victorious king. And we share his inheritance. And, you know, victory is in your veins, whether you know it or not. It is. Alinka, some of you know Alinka. Oh, she's not here this morning. But she was telling me about an encounter she had with a girl who picked an argument with her. And then she said the girl started doing this. And I said, that indicates this girl knows how to fight, you know. And Alinka had cottoned onto that, and she sort of resolved the situation. But actually, we should be a bit like this. You know, we should be ready to fight, because we have got victory in our veins, and we are sons of a victorious king and daughters. All right? So we'll just drop that in as we pass. In case I forget, I'll just tell you this other thing about Alinka, since she's not here to embarrass. She became Christian about 7 or 8 months ago. And then a few weeks ago, she said to me, I'm not sure if this is normal. It's like I'm talking to myself, but I'm not. And I said, you know, go and explain. And she said, when she's in the house, she finds herself talking to Jesus, just talking, just chatting about stuff, you know? And she said, is that all right? I said, that's very all right. Okay. So just file that one away, because that comes up later. Just going back to this thing about victory and who we are, actually Satan has found this out long ago about us, and sometimes we're slower to catch on than he is. But he knows who we are, and he knows we are sons and daughters of the king. And he'll do anything to stop you realizing it. So he'll tell you lots of lies. lots of stuff about yourself that looks as if it could be true because it's almost credible. And some of it's based on things that you've done in the past. And you think, yeah, that's right. I'm horrible. I'm not worthy. I can't stand before the king. And it's not true. It's a lie. Okay? It's a lie. So, he knows that you're forgiven. He knows that you're righteous. He knows that you have authority. He knows that you're sons and daughters of the king. And he's frightened. The question is, do you know that you're sons and daughters of the king? And when I say, do you know it in your heart as well as in your head? Okay? So I'm just going to ask you to do something for a moment. I'd like you to close your eyes because I don't want anybody seeing anybody else. So I want you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you this question. It's a question you need to ask yourself. Do I know that I am a son? Do I know that I am a daughter? Okay. Now, if there's a bit of you that still struggles with that, and just keep your eyes closed, and there's a bit of you that says, yeah, I know because it says so, and people say so, and I keep getting told, but I'm not sure I actually know it in my heart. It's not how I base my life. It's not where I'm coming from. You just pop your hand up for a second and put it down. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else other than that, all right? I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or anything stupid like that. Just want you to just be honest with yourself and, you know? Okay. Right. Just keep your eyes closed. Just as we at this point, I'm just going to pray for you. So Jesus, for these people, and I think there's probably many of us really who struggle in this area and don't really know that we are your sons and your daughters, I ask you to begin to reveal yourself more and more in their lives. Just give them a revelation of who they are, how much you love them, how special they are to you. How you've chosen them. They're not one of a crowd, but they're individuals who you love. When you look at them, say, my son, my daughter, you're mine. I ask you to reveal that to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Just by the by, as we pass that point, there's an excellent little book, which Audrey put me onto, which is called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And you can buy it in the bookshop. You got one in? She's got two in, ready primed. Okay. And it's like a devotional thing every day, but every day it's stuff that Jesus wants to say to you, and it's good and it's scriptural. And I would say, you know, if you're struggling at all, go and buy the book and just do that every day and just let some of this stuff percolate into your heart, okay? Right. So, prayer is simply conversation. And I know some of you will say, oh, no, it's more than that. There's prayers, a declaration, there's warfare, there's all kinds of stuff. But I'm talking, this is prayer for beginners, all right? So just hold back. At its very basic, it is conversation. It is talking. It's talking. And I say it's conversation because it's a two-way thing. You know, he will talk back to you, and he wants to. It's a relationship thing, but it's also a supernatural thing because you're sat here in this room, and you can talk, and the God who made heaven and earth, who you can't see, hears you and talks back to you. All right? It's like I was saying about Ilinka, it's not religious. You don't have to use special words or write words. You know, you don't even have to have special times or places. And, you know, for me, my best times of praying are either when I'm walking or when I'm driving. Sat in a chair is rubbish. sat in a chair anywhere in the house. You know, I've tried all sorts of chairs. I don't think it's the chair. You know, I tried sitting at my desk because that's upright, sitting in an armchair in the study because that's more relaxed and away from stuff, sit in the kitchen, wherever. It doesn't work for me, you know? I just get distracted or I just find it hard. If I'm walking or if I'm driving, driving's really good, then it just works for me. So it's there's nothing religious about that, you know? But it's where I can talk. And it's not formal, and it's not a formula. And some of you will have heard this thing about the little formula for prayer, ACTS, A-C-T-S, which is adoration. This is how you should pray. You should start with adoration, apparently, then you follow it with confession, then you follow it with thanksgiving, then you follow it with supplication, which means asking for things, all right? And I would say, actually, I think that's a bit rubbish. And I'll tell you why, because it's a bit like the husband comes home to his wife, and he says, "Hello, darling, I'm home. You look lovely." So that's the adoration bit. "Sorry, I forgot to put the bins out this morning. Thank you for all you do. Can I have me dinner now?" You know? So, you know, if we start on a formula, I'm sure God thinks, "Here we go." And there are times when for me it's just praise, I just enjoy him, and that's all it is. And sometimes it gets a bit loud, and that's fine as well. And I don't think if I need to ask him for something, I don't think I need to go through have I done some worship first? Have I done some preparation? Because that's saying if I haven't done that and that, he's not going to listen to me because he doesn't accept me. So I have to do these things so he will accept me. And actually, he has already accepted me. And he lives in me. And he loves me. So we're talking about open, honest conversation that's respectful, always. It's uncomplicated. Doesn't mean you can't ask questions. And it's that thing about that was on the screen. He's not offended by the questions that we ask. And he's not offended when we say we're fed up. And he's not offended when we say, this is rubbish, you know. Honesty is a good place to start. Often chatty in my personal prayer. Just chatty. Just fine. And I'm sure he wants to be chatty too. He loves it when we talk to him. I had somewhere, possibly. See, I'm half organized. This little story from, I'm reading this book called The Presence, the Power, and the Heart of God by Randy Fisk, and it's rather good. But in it, he's talking about faith, and he's talking about, he was on this journey of discovering what it is to trust God and wanting to see stuff happen in terms of the miraculous and so on. And there was one day he dropped a contact lens. He had grit in his eye, took the lens out, and it was windy, so he held it like that, just to make sure he didn't lose it. And then he had a look to see if it was still there, and it blew out. And it landed on this sort of graveled area, and apparently they're all little shiny stones. So they all looked like 100,000 contact lenses, you know? So he thought, right, great, this is my opportunity to exercise faith and to trust God and see God move. So he prayed and said, "God, you know, you can show me this, and I'm going to do what I should do, and I'm going to start looking." So he's down on his hands and knees looking, didn't see it. And after 5 minutes, he's, "God, I know you can do this, you know." And he has another go, and then he starts getting frustrated and said, "God, you know I need this because I've got a long journey. I can't drive with one eye, effectively." And then he's getting really cross and frustrated about the whole thing. And he's saying, "God, I'm really disappointed, you know, that you've not done this for me, this simple thing. And if you wanted me to do big things for you, how can I do big things if I can't trust you to do the little things, you know?" And then he said, he just paused for a minute, apparently, and then he said, "But you know what? I still love you, and I'll still serve you forever." And then he looked down, and that was that he could see clearly the contact lens, you know? And he just felt God say to him, He said, that was great. This is what God said to him. That was great. That's the first time you talked to me for so long in ages. I really enjoyed that. Okay, so he loves it when we talk to him. There's no need to be qualified, no need to be proficient. It's not about expertise, it's about relationship. And the other thing, the interesting, as I pray and as I talk openly and honestly to God, I find myself changing pretty instantly sometimes. John Wesley said, prayer gets my will into an unbiased state. All right, prayer gets my will into an unbiased state, so it's not my will is no longer saying, I must have this. It's starting to, you're more open to what God is saying. When I begin to talk to Jesus openly about stuff that's important and issues and so on, I find my attitudes and thoughts and will being corrected as I'm talking to him. Because I can't lie in front of him, and I can't deceive myself in front of him. I certainly can't deceive him, you know? So the whole thing starts to correct. Somebody said that when we pray in this way, it's the one place where God can get at us, all right? And we thought prayer was the place where we could get at him, okay? But actually, it's the one place where he can get at us. So, and we can be confident of this because we know that he loves us. So 1 John, you can look these up later, 1 John 4:15, 1 John 5:14. We can be confident that he loves us and that he hears us. And if he hears us, he'll answer us. So, bearing in mind this is prayer for beginners, I just want to give you 10 very quick things that will help you. It's just part of the foundation, all right? Stuff that you just need to start to build into your life. And because I haven't got a PowerPoint, because I'm lazy, whatever, if you want to ask me for these afterwards, I can give them to you. Or I can find a PA and give them to a PA. So, these are important things that we just need to know, and need to get to know inside us. First thing is that we're forgiven, all right? You are forgiven, and you're forgiven for it all, you know? Sometimes we have memories of things come back. I sometimes have memories. I saw a friend on the street the other day, and he had a memory of me that's in a photographic form. His mum died, and he was sorting out stuff, and he said, I found this picture of you when you were about 20. And I joked about him putting it in the current window, but I sincerely hope he doesn't. and sometimes just memories come back of stuff we've done. And I did some horrendous things before I became a Christian, and sometimes the memories come back, more things where I've damaged and hurt people, you know. And I just have to say, actually, the person who did that is dead, all right? The Kevin Williams that did that stuff is dead, hasn't done it any longer. It's not him any longer. I'm a new person. You are forgiven. Everything is forgiven. You are accepted, and you're loved, and you're worthy. That's all one point, all right? You're accepted, you're loved, and you are worthy, all right? So you're not unworthy, you are worthy. You're qualified is the next point. Which flows from that, you are qualified. And sometimes we can say, well, I'm disqualified because of this or because of that. I've done this thing or that thing's not right or I haven't managed to get to that point yet, so I'm disqualified. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, actually, no, you're qualified. People who are depressed think that they're disqualified. And that's a lie, all right? You're not disqualified. You are qualified, okay? That's so important. Don't let the enemy lie to you about things like that. Next one, Jesus loves you. You know, you see it written and people say it in a trite way, but it is one of the, don't know what the word is. was just so true. You know, he loves you. He loves you. He's not looking at you and thinking, I don't like you. Or you got in with the crowd, I suppose we'll have to put up with you. He loves you. You know, each of you. And the next thing from that is he wants to partner with you. So he wants to do stuff with you. So the same as he started off with Adam, he wanted to do stuff with Adam. And he's not changed. He wants to do stuff with you. And it's not all religious, churchy stuff. And some of it's not even kingdom stuff. You know, he might even want to go and play pool with you. You know, there's a bit of him, and it's a large bit of him, that wants to say, what do you like? What do you want? What interests you? He doesn't want to take you and just force you into a mold and say, this is what you must be. And I'd say to somebody, you know, if you're contemplating a relationship with Jesus, or if you're contemplating coming back to Jesus where you've slipped back a bit and so on, what he wants to do, he doesn't want to take you and force you into some mold and take stuff away from you and make you worse. He wants to actually make you into the person that you're meant to be. So all that stuff that's in you, all those gifts, all those talents, all those desires and dreams and stuff like that, he wants to fulfill those and bring those about. He's not about just saying, well, we'll get rid of them because you're going to be this, you know? This is why the gospel is good news, never bad, all right? He hears you. You have authority. We talked about that before, but you have authority. You can stamp your feet and say no to the enemy, all right? He can do more than you can ever ask or imagine. This one's important as we go past it. He's the boss. All right? Never forget that. And he's cleverer than you are. but he loves being around you. Okay? He loves being around you. And you might look at yourself and think, I'm not lovable. There's stuff about me that's not very nice. He loves being around you. He can see past that stuff. So I just want to go back to finish. We're just going to go back to the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And I'm going to give you two options here. The first one is this. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from an evil one. And I actually don't think that when Jesus said these words, that his intention was that we remember that as a prayer and prayed it as a prayer and felt that that would achieve the job with that. Okay, I think you probably need to remember that this was given halfway up a mountainside, that Matthew was on his last sheet of paper, and his biro was running out. So he just took notes quickly, right? In all of this, there's stuff in here. I mean, this covers just so much stuff. And I don't think it's even, you know, that we should take all of this and say, well, we need to cover all of this in one. But there's things that we can pray just out of this. So, our Father in heaven, I just thank you that you're my Father, that you love me, that you've chosen me, that you sent your Son for me, that you're my Dad, that I can talk to you about anything, that you don't reject me, but you accept me, that you want me, that you like being around, that you're better than any father I've ever had or could ever have. You really are my Father. All right? You're holy. Just thank you for your holiness. That it's not like it says in Leviticus, be holy as I am holy, and that's impossible to get to. but you've put something in me that makes me want to be holy. You put desire in me to be different. You've changed me. And it's just so good to be around your holiness. And it's not threatening any longer because of who you are. You know, stuff you can just pray out of this. Your kingdom come, please. Oh, yes. You know, that was a prayer. Your kingdom come, please, yes. That's it. You know, in all of this, my heart is just to bring some release, a greater understanding of who we are and how he sees us and how we can relate to him and how we can talk to him about anything. And we can ask him for anything. And if it's not right, he'll let us know. Okay? And that's fine. See, Ruth came home last night, and I said, shall we go out? And she said, I've only got £10 for this week. And I don't mind, because I'm her dad. And we're not having that in writing, Ruth. Settle down. You know, because I'm her dad, and I love her. So that's fine. We'll cover that. We've got some bread in the bin. And you just need to know just how much he loves you and how approachable he is. And just start chatting to him. All right. There's more to prayer. There's other stuff, you know. But if we haven't got this, we'll never get the rest. The rest will just become work and effort. And it's never meant to be work and effort. It's meant to be a pleasure. Because you're engaging with somebody who loves you. Okay? Paul. Well,